Appreciate the messages in song this morning. We're thankful for your presence here today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 50, verses 24 through 26. Genesis chapter 50. We're going to talk to you this morning on the subject of Joseph and his bones. I know that doesn't sound like quite the sermon title, but maybe after we finish today, you will see the significance of Joseph and his bones. In the 50th chapter, verse 24 and 25, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence." Chapter 50 of the book of Genesis records both the death of Jacob and then the death of Joseph. They both died in the land of Egypt. And when Jacob died, Joseph got permission from Pharaoh to take his body back to Canaan for burial. And Jacob was buried in the cave of Machpelah that was bought earlier by his grandfather Abraham for a family burial site. So when Joseph was about to die, he told his brothers, God will surely visit you. He will bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And when he does, I want you to carry my bones with you from here up to Canaan. Let me say it once again. There are three life types of Christ in the Old Testament. There's Joseph, there's Moses, and there's also David. All were shepherds. Joseph pictures the moral glories of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Moses pictures the ministerial glories of the Lord Jesus Christ, and David pictures his messianic glories. Of these three types, Joseph stands supreme. It is almost impossible to look at or touch any part of his life and not be reminded of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11, that great picture gallery of the Old Testament heroes of the faith, includes this man, Joseph. And here once again, the Holy Spirit focuses only on Joseph's death and on what he wanted done with his bones. Now, had maybe you or I been the author of the book of Hebrews, we doubtlessly would have mentioned maybe his birth. We would have talked about his brothers. We would have talked about his behavior, his betrayal, and also his bride. Now, his birth set him apart from his kinsmen, and he was his father's well-beloved son, and so it was with Jesus Christ. His brothers hated him. They were moved with envy against him. They resented his morals. They ridiculed his message, and so it was with Christ. Joseph's behavior always pleased his father. And when we examine his career, we examine his character and his conduct, we find nothing but good to say, and so it is with Christ. In his betrayal, Joseph pictures Jesus. Joseph was sold for the price of a slave and handed over to the Gentiles, and so it was with Jesus. And during the period of his rejection, Joseph was given a Gentile bride, and she was taken from obscurity and raised up on high to share with him his rightful place and power. Likewise, Jesus was given a Gentile bride, which is the church, and it too was taken from obscurity and lifted up. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, the Holy Spirit mentions only Joseph's bones. It says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, I don't know just exactly why that the Holy Spirit chose to magnify the faith of Joseph concerning his bones, but he did. Now, the bones of Joseph are mentioned some three times in the Old Testament. Each time they have a significant message for us. Just as Abel speaks to us through his martyrdom, so Joseph speaks to us through his bones. So the question is, what do these bones have to say to us today? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to find out. Amen? In Genesis 50, our text verse, verse 24 and 5, Joseph's bones speaks of complete redemption. Here we see the old man Joseph, and picture with me him lying on his golden couch, surrounded by all the wealth and the luxury of Egypt. It was the greatest country of antiquity, and Joseph had occupied a position of absolute power, second only to Pharaoh. Every comfort and every convenience that money could buy was at his command. But he cared little about all of this. He was now 110 years of age. He was about to die. Now, the grave held no terror for him, because he saw with his eye of faith, he saw around the corner, and he saw all the wonders of the land that was far greater than Egypt. He saw all the ivory palaces, the streets of gold, the crystal streams, and he saw the very throne of God itself. Now, we can picture his brothers, his sons, and his family gathering around for the end. Soon the flags of Egypt would be at half mast, and one of the really great ones of the earth passes away. But suddenly the old man's eyes began to kindle. There was a sparkle in his eye. His feeble voice began to strengthen. He is about to issue his final command and make known his last will and testament. His relatives close in around him, I'm sure eager to see what he intends to leave for them. Now, who should get the lordship of the land of Goshen? Perhaps Judah. Who would get the contents of Joseph's safe? Perhaps Benjamin. Who would get his mansion overlooking the Nile? And who would get his expensive robes, his stables, his horses, and his golden chariot? Imagine, if you will, how their faces must have fell when he mentioned none of the above. What he was leaving them was something that was far more precious than the price of silver and gold and all of the worldly possessions. He was giving them a tangible reminder that God would not forget the promise that he made to Abraham concerning the promised land. God said in the Ur of Chaldees, I will give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and I will give it to you and to your inheritance. Now, Joseph was referring to the promise of a coming redemption. You see, the days ahead of them would be dark and dangerous, some 400 years. Death would encamp round about the children of Israel, and Goshen would become a ghetto. But Joseph's bones would bear witness to this promise. They would say over and over, again and again, God will bring you out. You see, the coming redemption was a more precious thing than all the wealth and the treasures of Egypt. I'm here to tell you what the angel said to the men of Galilee. as they stood watching Jesus ascending back into heaven. Why do you stand here gazing up into heaven when you know this same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven is going to come again in like manner as you have seen him go? And Jesus himself said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We know that there's coming a day of redemption for the children of God. In his remarkable bequest, Joseph put on record the faith that sustained him, the fact that strengthened him, and the fear that stirred him. Hebrews 11:22 says that it was his faith that caused him to make this statement concerning his bones. Genesis 50 verse 24 gives no hint whatsoever of any doubt in his mind as he told his family, in due time, God is going to visit you and he is going to bring you out. To him, it was a fact to be believed and embraced. And what about the fear that stirred him? Joseph was afraid that when God came to deliver his people, that they might leave his remains there in Egypt. So he gave a command saying, you shall carry my bones from hence. He was in effect saying, keep my body among you as a reminder that God will bring you out of this land into that land. Aren't you glad that our God never forgets a promise? Aren't you glad that he always does what he says he will do? And Jesus said, if I go, I will come again. You can take that to the bank this morning. He is a coming, risen Savior, and we shall see him again. And then secondly, in Exodus 13 and 19, Joseph's bone speaks of Canaan rest. You see, the bones that witnessed to Joseph's brothers of complete redemption spoke also of a Canaan rest to the nation of Israel that was in Egypt. In Genesis chapter 50, the bones of Joseph said, in effect, God will bring you out. Exodus 13, they said, God will bring you through. He will not only bring you out, he'll take you all the way. Aren't you glad that our Lord is mindful of what we're going through? And he knows the condition of our world. He knows how things are going to pot all over the world. He knows what a mess we've got ourselves into. But you see, anytime man gets to thinking that he's smarter than God and he can rule his life better than God, he'll always get in trouble like he is right now. But Jesus is coming. We need to be reminded of the fact that one of these days he'll say it's enough and it'll all be over. All the way from Egypt to Canaan, Moses carried with him those bones. They reminded the children of Israel, you will not perish here. You're not to settle here. God will bring you through. Up ahead of you is a land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not this land, it's not that land, but it's the land that he has promised over in Canaan. It's not Egypt, it's not Sinai, it is Canaan. I want you to go back with me just for a moment this morning to that busy night of the Exodus. Joseph had said, God will surely visit you. And sure enough, he did. You remember that night, the avenging angel of God passed through the land at midnight. And all of the children of Israel that had the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorpost, the death angel passed by. But to all of those that were Egyptians that did not have the blood, the firstborn of every household died that night. Staffs in hand, eager and expectant, they feasted on the lamb until all the meat was gone. All of Israel knew that God indeed had visited his people. All of Egypt knew it as well, as plague after plague had warned, threatened, and illustrated what such a visitation really meant. But the Egyptians had persisted in their headlong rebellion and pride, and now they were suffering the consequences. Oh, you could hear the howl of the stricken people of Egypt as it offset the hallelujahs of God's people as they were leaving Goshen. The great night had come. A new day had dawned. Israel was on the march. Everybody was carrying something. You see, the Israelites had spoiled the Egyptians. The wages of centuries of slavery were now paid in full, as every Hebrew man, woman, boy, and girl were laden down with silver, with precious stones, with rich fabric, silks, and linen. And there was not a single man, boy, or girl that did not carry the price of this prize that they were taking with them. But what was Moses carrying? The Bible said, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. He carried something that was far beyond the price of rubies. The most valuable thing in Egypt was a box of bones. That memorial body did indeed minister to Moses, because the very next chapter there was a crisis that did arise, and the Israelites found themselves in a mess. Pharaoh and his army were coming against them at a rapid rate of speed. There was the deep Red Sea that was ahead of them, and they didn't know what to do. They instantly forgot all the miracles that God had worked for them in Egypt, and they forgot whose they were. Brethren, you always need to be reminded of what God has done for you. It was a miracle when he reached down and picked you up out of sin and washed you white as snow. He didn't have to do that, but he loved you. And we need to also remember the fact that he has power not only to save us, but to sustain us and to see us through any difficulty. Well, that memorial body did indeed minister to Moses that night. You see, the Bible said, because there was no graves in Egypt, this is what the people said, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. The Hebrews had forgotten two more things. That was the misery of their slavery. Remember, the Bible said they were under hard taskmasters. They were having life difficult. It was tough. But the truth of the matter is that God was mindful of what they were going through, and there was the miracle of their salvation. But you know, when you're carnally minded, when you're a worldly believer, it's easy to forget what God has done. But Moses did not forget. He had the bones of Joseph with him, and that memorial body whispered to him, God will bring you out. God will bring you through. As we make our New Testament journey this morning from Egypt, which is a symbol of sin, all the way to Canaan, which is the promised land, we have with us what Moses had with him. Just as Joseph's bone spoke to Moses, so the memorial body of our Lord set before us in the communion service declares, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. You see, the memorial body of Jesus points us back to Calvary, where we have our forgiveness, and it points us on to glory, and it will see us through. God made good his promise. He brought Israel into that promised land just like he had said. But there's one more message concerning these bones, and that's found in Joshua 24:32. Joseph's bones speak of coming resurrection. You see, the Old Testament passage tells us what became of these bones when they got to Canaan. It says this, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver. The bones were buried, but they still have something to say. They spoke of a rest that is better than Canaan's rest down here. They spoke of Calvary's rest. Aren't you glad this morning that we have a rest that is perfect? We won't have to worry about any more sickness. We won't have to worry about any more pain. We won't have to worry about death. We won't have to worry about problems. God will bring you out. He'll bring you through. You see, these buried bones speak of Calvary's rest. Can you hear the foot bone talking to the ankle bone? Can you hear the ankle bone talking to the shin bone? And can you hear the shin bone talking to the thigh bone? And the backbone talking to the neck bone? Now hear the word of the Lord. Now hear the word of the Lord. They must be saying to each other, God has spoken. We will not stay down here forever. They can plant your bones deep in a grave, but there's coming a day when there'll be a resurrection. And all of our old bones and body that had turned to dust will be reunited with our soul. And it'll be like the body of Jesus. It'll be an incorruptible body. I am so glad this morning that He has not only saved us, but He's going to take us all the way home. And I want to finish well. Don't you? I know that we're just passing through. I know this is not our long home. And Joseph knew that it didn't really matter where his bones were when the resurrection day came. If they'd been in Egypt, they'd have come up. But you see, he was a child of God. He was a Jew. He wanted to go home. I'm going to tell you, I think all of us want to go home. We're living in a mixed up, messed up world. That's what the devil and worldly people have done to this world that Jesus made for His honor and glory. We don't have to live the way the world lives. We can live like Christ wants us to live. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to leave here. You're going to leave here. It may not be for a while, but you're going to leave. You're not going to stay down here. And you're going to have to account to God. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. You're going to die. You're going to have to stand before God and account for the way that you've lived down here. I want to know that I know that I know that I know that I'm right with God. And my name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And brethren, you can know this morning through Jesus Christ. If you don't know you're on the way to heaven, if you don't know you're a child of the King, then you need to come this morning and make sure before you leave here today. Let's bow for prayer.